Well, good morning, everyone in KCC, and here we are online again, and it's been great to be able to worship together in the service today as we've been focusing on God and His greatness and His goodness to us and how He helps us. And we're going to be thinking about that a bit today in terms of where can we find help. And so what I want to do before we turn to God's word is I want us to pray. So let's just take a moment or two to be still. I know that's hard in our homes when maybe there are distractions and it can be easy to be distracted, but let's just pray as we come before God this morning. Let's pray. Father, we are aware that you are God and that you are above all things. Yet at times it can be hard for us day by day to be aware of what's going on in terms of you being at work with us because of all the distractions. And maybe even now we're facing distractions as we try to sit down and listen to this talk. Pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit, that you would work in our minds and our hearts, and you would open up God's word to us. We thank you that it's the truth that sets us free. And so we want to know freedom in Jesus today. We want to know what it is to be spoken to for a first time or a tenth time or a thousandth time. We pray, come by your Holy Spirit as your word is opened up, that we might be able to see you more clearly. Come, we pray. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us even now, prepare our hearts. Help us to be aware of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to be thinking from Psalm 61 this morning. So if you've got your Bibles out, well done. If you've got a phone or a tablet and you want to open that up to Psalm 61, we're going to be looking at that this morning and seeing what God has to say to us in that. And we're going to be thinking first and foremost about where can we find help? Where can we find help? And if we're honest, we need God's help in all kinds of situations and circumstances that we might be facing. Some of us watching this might feel we need help because we're lonely. Some of us might feel we need help because we're in isolation. We feel cut off. Some of us this morning might feel we need help because we're really concerned about our work, we've lost a job, or that we are not sure if we're going to have a job in terms of what's going on with this crisis. For some of us, maybe we're teenagers, we're uncertain about what the future looks like with school or exams, and we feel we need help with that. We may need help in all kinds of different ways. And let's be honest, all of us are not self-sufficient. We all need help. So where can we find help this morning as we think about that? Where can we find help? Well, we're going to be looking in Psalm 61, and we're going to begin by thinking a bit about three key areas of where we can find help this morning. We want to think about turning to God in prayer, turning to God in remembrance, and the need to turn to God in praise. Turn to God in prayer, turn to God in remembrance, and turn to God in praise. These are three areas that I want to pull out of Psalm 61 that I believe God has been leading us to think about this morning. First of all, I want us to think about family troubles and the context for this psalm, which is important for us to understand. This psalm, many commentators think, is to do with David and Absalom. And we may know about that, or we may have forgotten about that story, or we may have never heard of that story in our lives before. But it's interesting to think about the troubles that they were in David's family. And many people look at Christians and maybe think that we're somehow the Walton family or Ned Flanders and his family out of The Simpsons, that they're all squeaky clean, that there's never any problems, that there's never any issues, there's never any fallouts. Well, when we look at the story of David, King David in the Bible, there are just so many family problems that he has. And this story between David and Absalom is absolutely heartbreaking. So what happened with that story is that David was king and Absalom took over his reign as king. And in time, where there was a feud between this father and son, David decided that he was going to get his kingdom back by going to war. But one of the conditions in him going and fighting in this war against Absalom was that Absalom was not to die. So they were to take back the kingdom, but Absalom was not to die. And what actually happened was they went to war, but sadly, Absalom escaped on a horse and he ended up hitting his head on a branch of a tree and hanging in the tree, where somebody then came along not knowing and killed him, thinking he was one of the enemy. And so that's the context for David looking for help as we think about that this morning. And that picture there up behind me was painted in the 19th century. And it's very grey and very morbid. And we see a picture of David's head covered in a cloak. And it looks really dark. But this is a portrayal of him mourning the death of Absalom, having had these family troubles. And again, many of us maybe are in situations like that where we're grieving, or there's heartache, or there's loss and trouble. And so when we come to think about how David turns to God in prayer, we read first of all in verses 1 and 2, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you." So is it any wonder that David wouldn't be crying out to God in this grief regarding the loss of his son Absalom and the mess of that war that took place? And he's crying out to God that God would listen to his prayer. "And from the ends of the earth I call to you." So this idea of the ends of the earth is like that I'm just so far away from my normal situation here. I feel so distant and removed from what I see as normality right now that I'm just crying out to you. Would you just listen to my prayer? I need you, God. And maybe that's like you today. Maybe you just feel like at the ends of the earth, whatever situation you find yourself in, or whether it's to do with being part of this lockdown in terms of this COVID-19 crisis, we can come to God in prayer. Not when we feel good, or not when we think we've got it all together, or not when we just feel we feel good about ourselves, but we can come to God at any time in prayer. When we can turn to God in prayer and cry out to him with the messiness of life, cry out and pour out where our hearts are to him, just as David did. And he says, "Hear my cry, oh God." He's crying, he's bawling his eyes out, he's shouting out to God, "Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you." We can turn to God to prayer in our heartache to him. But we also read that, "I call as my heart grows faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so when we read this in the NIV or the ESV or different translations of the Bible, it's possible to see that he's calling out to God and his heart is growing faint, that he maybe just feels a bit tired. We can interpret that in different ways. But in the original Hebrew, the word for faint here is ataf. And that really means being overwhelmed. It's not just feeling a little bit woozy. It actually means just feeling totally overwhelmed. And so David comes to God in prayer as his heart, as his whole being is just overwhelmed. And there are times in my life where I've just felt overwhelmed, maybe through grief or differing circumstances and pressures or exhaustion. And maybe you've felt like that in the past, or maybe you feel like that now. You're watching this talk and you just feel utterly overwhelmed. Well, if you feel like that, we can call out to God in prayer and ask that we will be led to Jesus. And why is that significant, that we should look to Jesus at such a situation? Well, we think about the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus died on the cross. His heart was overwhelmed as well, as he thought about the weight of sin and the pain and the suffering that he was going to go through on the cross. And he was so overwhelmed that he just said to God, look, you know, if there's any other way to the Father, if there's any other way, if I don't have to go through this, remove this cup of suffering. And he was overwhelmed, but he went through that storm and he went to the cross to pay the price for your sin and my sin. And he knows totally what it is to feel overwhelmed. And so he wants us to look to him. David looked to God. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, as he was overwhelmed. Lead me, God, to you. I'm overwhelmed. And so we read, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So we get a different perspective. We're not just looking at ourselves or our situations, but lead me to the rock. Lead me to Christ, who is higher, the Savior, who is bigger than the circumstances that we are in or that we face today. And for a number of months now, I've put this in because God was reminding of me of this week. This quote by Francis Schaeffer that says, doing God's work in God's way for God's glory. I've spoken about this for a number of months now because it's about how we position ourselves in life. You see, if we don't see the need to pray, if we don't see that God is to be a rock that is higher than I want to suggest that you haven't come to a position where you've humbled yourself. You haven't been attentive to the fact that God has created a rhythm change right now where he wants us to see that he is higher than I, that he is the rock, that he is the one that we are to look to. And so how you operate and how I operate in life should be that we see our being, our existence, being about doing God's work, not just about me and my work and me making a mark in life. It's just about me and a sense of arrogance that can come with that. It's about joining in and participating on God's work, that God is already at work. It's about us doing things in God's way, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's about humbling ourselves on our knees in prayer and saying, God, I'm sorry that so often in my life, I've been doing things my own way. I've been going my own way, doing my own thing. And what I need is to see that you are the rock that is higher than I. I need to live for your glory. I need to do life and work in your way for your glory by the help of your Holy Spirit. And I wonder whether we're watching this today. We just need to repent of the fact that we've been too self-sufficient, that we've been running ahead, doing our own thing, that we need to be on our knees, crying out to God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I don't want to be operating in pride. I don't want to be operating with arrogance. I want to be led by you. I want you to be glorified. And so when we pray, that's essentially what we're doing. We're giving him the glory. We're turning to him. We're saying, we need you. And David was doing that. But we're also, secondly, to think about turning to God in remembrance. We read in verses 3-5 this: "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name." And so David has come to a point in his life where he's remembering what God has already done for him as he faces another crisis in his life. You see, just like that picture of a tent, a good kind of outdoor tent that you can put up in a mountain that will give you shelter from the winds and the storm, so it is when we turn to God. We would just be totally exposed if we were to walk up a Monroe and it was in the winter and it was cold and we didn't really have the appropriate equipment, we didn't have the right tent, and we were kind of caught out there in a wind, we would be stuck. But if we could have one of these pop-up tents where we could go inside and take refuge, we would know shelter from the storm. And so it is with the storms of life when we're looking for help. You see, David could recall God's faithfulness to him when he thought about his life. Let's just think about David's life just as a snapshot, not everything, but just even a couple of things. Remember that he was a shepherd boy, that he was called out from being a shepherd boy, that he took on Goliath, that God was faithful in helping him defeat Goliath, that he was faithful in helping him overcome what seemed to be a massive obstacle, that David in his life experienced trouble and attack from Saul, that he often was on the run from Saul, that David messed up in his life, that he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and that he came to a point of asking for forgiveness, that he repented of his sin and he was restored by God in that. So when he says, "You've been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe," he's probably thinking about remembering what God has done in his life. When he says he longs to dwell in the tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of the wings, he's known in his life what it is to receive forgiveness, what it is to know the love of God, the shelter of God. And he says that, "God, you've heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name," because he's turned his face towards God. He's remembered God's faithfulness. And so therefore, when he's looking for help, he can receive the goodness of who God is when he does that, as he remembers. But thirdly, what we see in this psalm, in Psalm 61, is that there is a turn to God in praise, that we are to turn to God in praise. Well, where do we see that? In verses 6 and 7, it says, "Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him." And so David looks to God as the one who increases the days of life. He looks at him as the one who stands over all generations, and he wants God to be enthroned, to know the presence of God. And that is such an incredibly unique thing to Christians. You see, when storms are blowing up around us, when there's all kinds of challenges, it doesn't mean that Christians are immune from such things. But when we know the presence of God by the Holy Spirit, there can be fullness of joy in his presence. And at times it's a battle to know that presence. At times it's a battle to know the fullness of joy. And that's why we need to pray. And that's why we need to remember. And that's why we need to be in Scripture, recalling the goodness of God as we look at his faithfulness. That we see his faithfulness that protects us for eternity. And I was thinking about this in terms of sandcastles. Now, that grand picture of one behind me is not like the kind of sandcastle that I would have ever built or know of anyone else who builds sandcastles on a beach when we go to Northern Ireland, like Port Stewart or Port Rush, or we go somewhere else to a beach like St. Andrews. I've never seen one as grand as that. But as grand as that, and you know, creative, as amazing that sandcastle is, it won't last forever. Because when the tide comes in, it will wash away that sandcastle. And so the difference between that, or the difference between our lives, or the difference between our houses, or the difference between a number of material things, is they don't last forever. They're washed away, essentially, no matter how beautiful they are. But when we turn to God, to know God and be in the presence of God is something that lasts forever, that we can know for eternity. It's incredible to think that we can have eternal life, that this isn't just it, but we can live for eternity. And so when we turn to God in praise, we see in verse 8, "Then I will sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day." You see, what flows out of David's heart is that as he prays, as he remembers the presence of God, and as that wells up in him, as it can for you and for me, he will sing praise. He will sing praises, and songs rise up in his heart as they should in ours, because we're all singing about something, but we need to be singing the praises of God and looking to him and glorifying him forever and enjoying him. And so as we turn to God in praise, I found this quite meaty quote by Paul Tripp that I just want to read, and then I'll break it down a bit as we move towards a close. He says, "If awe is longing, then embedded in that longing is the cry for a destination. And if awe requires a destination, then every moment of awe in this life merely prepares us for the incalculable awe that is to come." Okay, so let's break that down. When we think about praise, when we think about worship, so if worship, if praise, whether that is of another human, of a football team, of a musician or an artist, or indeed of God himself, if awe is a longing, so in other words, we have a longing to praise. We've got a longing to look beyond ourselves, not only to look for help beyond ourselves, but we have a longing to praise. And if that is embedded, that longing is, it's a cry for a destination. So in other words, we worship and praise beyond ourselves because we recognize there is something or a destination beyond ourselves, that this isn't just it. And if this requires a destination, then every moment, everything that we're doing, everything that David was doing as he prayed and remembered, as he wrestled with grief and all kinds of problems, everything that he was doing and that we're doing is a moment of awe that prepares us for a greater sense of awe and wonder that's to come. Now, that is incredibly important right now, as many of us are in lockdown. You see, because I've heard a number of conversations that go along the lines of something like this. You know, it's really difficult at the moment because there's nothing to look forward to. It's really difficult at the moment because I don't have anything to look forward to. And what do we mean by that? Well, some might mean, well, you know, I was really looking forward to a holiday in Spain and that's not happening. And I don't have a holiday in Spain anymore. So it's really difficult because I don't have that to look forward to. Or I was really looking forward to the Champions League final. That's not happening anymore. I was really looking forward to Wimbledon. That's not happening anymore. Or I was really looking forward to meeting up with my friends and having a big celebration with them. That's not happening anymore. Now, I'm not saying that these things not happening are not disappointing. But if that's our only measure for awe for what our destination is or for what we can look forward to, we are living a very reduced life. You see, because what should be our heartbeat in terms of awe and wonder and our destination should be that there is a greater destination that is to come, that we will be in glory with Jesus forever, and that in our waiting, we wait with incredible anticipation and yearning and longing. And what that does is it actually changes how we live right now. So that when we know our destination, it changes where we look for help. When we know our destination, it changes how we pray and how we remember and how we praise, are in awe of things. And this is incredibly difficult at times to get hold of when we're in a crisis, but it's incredibly important. I urge you to really think about this. If the praise of your lips or what you say is grumbling about the things that you cannot have, that is an indicator of your heart. But when, like the Great Catechism says, you know, the chief aim of man, of people, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, that's our destination, forever, eternity, then our hearts will be won over about how I live for today. And the Spirit will be at work in me, and the Spirit will produce fruits that will be a blessing to others, because my destination is not just my holiday, my sporting event, this, that, or the other. It's actually glory. It's actually to know Him forever. And so as we close, our response should think about what it is to turn to God in prayer, as David did, to turn to God in remembrance, recalling His faithfulness in our life, and to turn to God in praise. I wonder what your response is to that today. I want to encourage you to really think about this. If you've got any questions, please send them in on the email address that will appear on the screen. And I want you to talk about this in your home group. Talk about this with your friends. Talk about this with your family. About where we truly look for help and how we respond to that. And may it be that we look to God for our help, because He's made Himself known in Jesus, who died and rose again, ascended to heaven, and one day will return, where all things will be made new and where we will be with Him forever. That will be our destination, that we will know His love and glory forever, and we will fully know what it is to be helped by Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word, and we thank You that as we read about David, his life was such a mess. And in a strange way, that's a comfort to us when we realize that we're not perfect, when we realize our lives are messy, that any of us can turn to you for help, that any of us can turn to you and pray and seek your help and know the love of God through Jesus. And so I pray right now that as we've heard this message, that we will take it to heart and we will respond, and that we will truly look to you for help and glorify you in all that we say and we do and are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for listening. And if you've enjoyed this talk, please share it with somebody else who you think might be blessed too. Thanks so much and have a great week. Be blessed.